Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, David here. I'm with Pastor Bob.
Howdy over there.
And Pastor Liz.
Hi.
Howdy over there.
All right. Well, today...
Hi, Rose.
I'm not ashamed to say we're talking about modesty. See what I did there? I'm not ashamed. Not shamefully dressed. Not shamefully... comporting myself, wow. Anything like that.
Okay.
Because that word has to do with shame. I just looked that up. So in 1 Timothy 2, it's like the shamefacedness.
Oh, I love that word.
In the Greek. Okay, so.
It's a great word,
shamefacedness. All right. Cool. Well, they said I was the best host that we have.
Yeah.
They're being a little
too. You are. You're absolutely.
The best of the worst.
Yeah, they're being a little too modest. So I'll start us off here with this.
You must
general
increase that
question.
We must decrease. You
yeah.
know that.
I love that.
There's a lot more modesty going on here.
Yeah. All right. Great. How about this question?
Oh, we're going to start.
Very general question. Okay. Besides that little definition I threw out there, what comes to your mind when I'm talking about modesty? Anything?
Humility.
Okay.
That's what comes to mind.
Yeah. What about you?
Temperance.
What does that mean? For those of us in the 21st century.
Not so boastful.
No.
Maybe that kind of thing. I guess that's for the people that are advanced, you know, into this 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Good.
From us.
I just think
speaking
a prohibition
you out of the past.
So is modesty important for Christians?
You should ask a Christian this question. Let's ask her.
Yeah. Do Christian. You think as a Christian?
Of course. That,
that's important.
These are kind of softball questions, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't you practice modesty? Now that's a tough
we
one.
We should be doing better with these questions.
Yes, a lot better.
Yeah. What are we talking about here?
We're talking about
we talked
modesty.
About humility yeah. and all that, but don't you think we're talking about sort of the physical element of modesty?
No.
I'm just like, that's what comes to my mind because I grew up in Christian subculture.
Yeah. So let me help you all with this, okay? I'm going to start with a little monologue.
Please help me.
A modesty monologue.
Please help me.
Yes. The great sage is about to... Don't burn him. Okay. So now I'm going to bring you all to the deep end of the swimming pool. And most people are going to be confused listening
Hopefully
to this.
Hopefully you're wearing a one piece.
Yes. With a little skirty thing on it. Most people are going to be confused by what I say. And that's normal because whenever I speak, most people are confused.
That's true.
So... but being modest as I am, I will just continue and helping you survive this.
Okay.
There is a correlation between modesty and worship and praise.
Okay.
See, now everybody's
like, in what way?
How does that work? By the way, I'm going to put a shameless plug in first because Pastor Liz does a whole teaching on worship and praise. And if you go to spiritschoolofministry.com, you can find that. It's a tremendous teaching.
I liked it.
So here's the correlation. I liked it too.
Yeah.
Here's the correlation. Worship can be done without being seen.
Yeah.
Right? A few people really understand all that. And worship has to do with your heart, where your heart is. Mm-hmm. Yes. Praise is seen, it's external, but it comes out of the abundance of your heart, yes? So one's an expression of what's going on inside. I would submit to you that modesty is very similar, mm-hmm. that it has two very significantly different components that work together. One is a heart issue, and the other one is what it was how is it expressed from your heart into the your physical life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I think when we're going to talk about modesty today, I think if you keep that as your, you know, kind of your baseline, like, okay, this is something that's happening internally and being expressed externally. I think that's a really good way to think about modesty because most of the time people start with the outside mm-hmm. and try to press it in. And it actually doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. You know, just like out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, which is a modesty scripture, by the way. This so is every component of modesty, every expression of modesty.
Mm.
So that was my little part.
Yeah.
I hope
Did
that
you have anything you wanted
somebody.
To tack on to that?
Well, I think what you were starting to say, a lot of people view it as like what you're allowed to wear, what you're not allowed to wear, what you should wear and what you shouldn't wear. And it's so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more than that because it really, I like what you said, it's really a position of the heart
mm-hmm.
that then is expressed, not just in clothing, but in behavior, in speech, in how you treat other people. Mm-hmm. It's expressed in so many areas. And for us just to relegate it to clothing, and some people think this is modest and some people don't, then it just turns into rules about behavior
mm-hmm.
rather than a transformed mind.
Yeah. And I could see somebody even taking pride in their modesty
if
it was outside going in.
Absolutely.
You know, that, oh, look, I dress good. I'm one of the nice, you know, chaste people and I'm modest. Or if it's not coming from the heart, like you said, Pastor Bob, it could just be another way, more fig leaves that we're putting on to try to seem like
yes.
a good person. And that was immediately what I thought when I started thinking about modesty. And it was like a shame element. You know, it's like there's mm-hmm. a healthy shame where you're trying to just be mindful of how you're coming across and you're being respectful. But there's an unhealthy shame, obviously, from the garden where they realized that they were exposed. They were sinful. They were flawed. And so their instinct was, Adam and Eve, their instinct was to cover themselves with fig leaves, and it couldn't actually cover their shame, you know, where God had to come and clothe them. Right. And so I think like for me, like modesty is definitely an expression of, you know, gentle and quiet spirit. It's an expression of humility and meekness that comes from the heart. And that will clothe you in a way that is good, as good on the outside as hopefully you've been made on the inside, mm-hmm. Through a relationship with God. But yeah, I mean, it's way more than just your clothes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the clothes are important.
But I think I'd like some yeah. clarification on that, because my, I guess, more common definition of, in my mind at least, of shame is never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's a thing that brings a person into a bad place one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And so how would you define shame again?
Right. I'm just thinking of it in terms of like the Bible says, you Israelites forgot how to blush. Like you forgot like to really take a look and say like, you know, in myself, I need to be covered in some way. You know, like I need the glory of God. I need his righteousness. I need his cleansing. And to not recognize that, like to be brazen, to be out there, to be shameless, you know, that's not a good expression.
Got it.
Yeah. So there's like a sort of flamboyant, flagrant, just like, here I am, deal with it, without realizing, you know, there is a way I'm supposed to comport myself. And if I don't, there's this sense of shame, you know, that like that's supposed to, it's not good, but it's supposed to deviate me back to what is good.
Mm.
It's supposed to check me, you know.
Well, I think there are things that are shameful,
mm-hmm.
right? There are ways of behaving that are shameful. And it's not that we are supposed to carry shame and condemnation, but when we enter into those things that are shameful, there's something that happens to your soul, right?
Yeah.
You feel it. And a lot of people try to brush it off because they're engaged in like very ungodly, wicked behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to just put that like, don't shame me. But it's actually conviction of the Holy Spirit that there's something wrong about the way that you're living and the way that you're behaving. And really that comes from something inside of you that's in rebellion or broken or hurt or something that's saying, I don't have to live under restraint of godliness and holiness. Mm-hmm. I can do what I want to do. Yeah. And that's where it really is the check, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, even if people don't recognize what it is.
I think that word recognize is really important in that summary of it, because there's a recognition that occurs when you recognize that something is shameful,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like I said, you were mentioning, yeah, it's not that you want to take shame on yourself. What you actually want to take on yourself is conviction, repentance, and turning. Yeah. It's not, that's what God wants. And I think what you see with that, now, by the way, there's a pretty distinct difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, because a Christian has a spirit born of God, mm-hmm. has Holy Spirit active in their life in one sense or another, mm-hmm. and he is convicting and showing you what sin is and showing you what's not right, what pleases God and what doesn't please him. I believe an unbeliever, they things change. their plumb line adjust to their circumstance and to what they feel is going to be okay at this time and this moment in this season. And so there's no steadfastness. There's no structure of God. There, you know, I'm going to use the word law, but I'm not talking about the Mosaic law. I'm talking about the law of God is not present in their life. They don't have that as a, like I said, a plumb line, a way to judge things. So really in time, you'll find they will accept anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas modesty is actually a very, it's a threshold. and Christians know it when they step over it. They may ignore it, but I believe they know it. I believe your spirit speaks to it almost immediately.
Yeah, and when you get convicted, you can put on fig leaves or you can repent.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
We are talking a lot about the outward, about clothing and about how we're presenting ourselves. So like when we talk about modesty in that way, is modesty a moving target? Like that changes depending on your situation, or like how do we determine what modesty is in our culture for our setting? You have a thought on that?
I think, obviously for a Christian, like Pastor Rob was mentioning, the plumb line is always the word of God and the standards of the Lord, which really has to do much more with loving God and loving one another than it does about rules.
Yeah.
And I think that's the place where modesty really comes into play, is that you, and this is where, you know, humility and yieldedness comes in, is that you actually prefer God's way over yours, and you are willing to walk in temperance and self-control and have a responsibility for guarding and keeping and your brother and sister, and also living with them in a way where you're preferring them instead of yourself. And that comes in, obviously we know that comes in the way you dress and guarding and keeping your brothers and sisters that way. But it also has to do with not being prideful toward them and lifting them up and encouraging them and making them great, you know, bringing up the people around you. You will only do that if you have a modest spirit. If you're immodest, you are self-focused. You are motivated by self-promotion. Mm-hmm. And also the immodest spirit is really one that will not be, the immodest spirit is one that really will not be controlled. It will not come under subjection. It's lawlessness.
Yeah.
When you think about immodesty, is it will not, don't put that on me. It's always this, you view everyone trying to externally put something on you rather than being self-controlled from the inside.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Can I just go ditto on that one? Yeah. I like that one a lot. I think there's, modesty is also, I believe, very self-serving, self-seeking, like you were saying, inwardly focused, like on who I am, what I get out of it. It's very selfish.
This is immodesty, right?
Immodesty. Yeah. Modesty is actually looks out for the other. Well, first of all, it looks out for how God feels about things. Right. So there's discernment involved. Mm-hmm. And it's a discernment that has to come to bear on every circumstance. So, you know, everybody wants like the 10 commandments of modesty, you know, check, check, check. And God actually, and there are some of those, I believe, but there are, God really wants you to discern how you are pleasing him or not. If you're stumbling somebody or not, if you're being selfish or not, if you're caring for your life more than you're caring for somebody else's life. And so all of those things, that's some pretty heavy lifting and a push, but that's what modesty is. So I believe modesty is a very mature thing. It has nothing, you know, babies don't, you know, they don't get it. It's not that they're just pure and innocent. They can't discern. They don't get it. They're very self oriented. They want, give me, what do I get for this? And so a person can be older and not mature and be very immodest in that process.
Right. I think it has to do with what does my life draw attention to? Mm-hmm. And modesty is all about, I want the attention for myself or my achievements or, you know, immodesty. Something. Immodesty. Yeah. And modesty would be more, I even put it more spiritual, because in 1 Timothy 2, he's urging modesty to the women. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't braid your hair, don't wear jewelry, which if we took that as a law, You know, right. every Christian woman would probably be in sin. So I don't think it's necessarily these specific things. But what he's talking about is he says, it's pleasing in the sight of God who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So he throws in the middle of all these discussions about dignity and mm-hmm. praying for your leaders and, you know, submission and love and not being flaunting your appearance. It's all for the sake of people knowing Christ and being a better witness, you know, of who God is and yeah. not keeping somebody away from God. So if my life is immodest, it's going to be taking the focus off God, you know. And that may be overly simplistic to somebody listening, but maybe not. Maybe if you're wearing, you know, buttless chaps, you know, probably the attention's not going to be going to God. You know what I'm saying?
If people are like, you know? Oh God, that's
just the only way. He just went BC on us. Wow.
I'm just saying, like, that's kind of an obvious one. But
yeah, that probably would bring people to the Lord.
People probably wouldn't be looking at their Bibles. Right. You're walking around in buttless chaps.
My goodness.
Anyway, but yeah, so.
Well, okay.
I think it just makes the point. You know?
Back to the scripture that you were referring to. I'll try to just
clear people,
my mind right now.
The people, I'll help you, give you time, but the people listening to this, Pastor David, they expect you to be more focused on, you know, biblical expression.
I was.
Not BC.
There's worse stuff in Ezekiel 16.
Oh my gosh. You know, the scripture when he's talking about, you know, braiding your hair and the jewelry and all that kind of stuff, really has a lot more to do with conforming to the culture at the time. And I'm what I want to say about that is a lot of times we determine what is modest or not based on culture. And he's trying to get them away from that, saying, don't look at what's happening around you and base your actions and your decisions and your heart position based on what the world is doing and on what you're used to seeing and what you're used to have happening around you. There's a different way to live. There's different principles that must guide your life now. It's not just this is okay and that's not okay and this is okay. There's principles of God that must govern you now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really the heart of what he's saying. And I think that as the church, we have to be, I think this is an area where we really have to go to the Lord and be like, where am I conforming? Where am I allowing my view of what is acceptable to be shaped by the world? Mm-hmm. Because just to be like blunt, if you look at the church, it is becoming more and more and more immodest in a lot of areas. And it's because we have been washed by the the world. Absolutely. And the culture, and it's become acceptable. And we're like, well, we're, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm still like in, you know, my time, and these things are like, everyone does it. And this is just the culture now. And I think that we have got to really like ask the Holy Spirit to bring some things to light for us, because I just see we've accepted a lot of things. I'm just saying the church, we've accepted a lot of things that are not, they're not godly, and we've made them okay.
Well, I think, you know, obviously Romans justifies that pretty quickly, and that, you know, don't be conformed to this world, be mm-hmm. transformed. And I think modesty, when you start to enter into modesty, there's a transformation that occurs in your right. life. And it's a transformation that comes not just externally, it comes internally through Holy Spirit operating with the Word of God, pushing out through your life. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the focus, to me, the biggest thing about the modesty is the focus. Right. Is that who are you pleasing? And the world is very self-oriented and sets up idols. Mm-hmm. And so immodesty is really just setting up some idols along the way mm-hmm. and then worshiping at those altars. Right. That's really what it really comes down to. And it comes in, you know, it's so easy to go to dress, but it comes to speech. It comes to how you treat somebody, mm-hmm. how you are in life. And how it affects someone else. I liked what Pastor David was talking about, because it actually speaks so much to your witness and your, you know, how evangelistic you're going to be, because, you know, who are you becoming? And so people are like, wow, you look just like the rest of us here. Mm-hmm. We're like caught in sin and gone, and you're just like one of us.
Right.
And it's like, there's no difference between us and you. So what's the big deal about this Jesus guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where the line is fine, because there's times that Paul mentioned where you have to be all things to all people, right. and your outward has to conform a little bit so that you can have a voice. But then the attitude is what's key. Like if your attitude is the same, if your lewdness is the same, if your cursing is the same, if you're, you know, I don't, there's so many things. Like it has to be determined by the Holy Spirit. So I don't think it's always cut and dry. Like we always want to have a list of like, how short should my shorts be? Like how short should right. my sleeves be? Should I have a bow tie? Should I have a Texas bolo tie? No. Right. But should I have a regular tie? Unless you're like an actual cowboy, you know? But like we always want to have a defined list. And like, I was talking to my wife about this and in Mozambique, you know, the standards are totally different than they are in America. A woman can be walking around topless there, but can't show her ankles. Mm-hmm. It's different. Okay. But the attitude that God wants, what he wants from us, I think doesn't change. It's determined through his revelation, through the scripture and through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I also, you know, that when you mentioned, Paul talks about becoming all things to all men, a lot of ways I interpret that most of the time, I'm going to say, is not that he changed his all of his appearance and his actions to fit into somebody. I think really the heart of what he's talking about there, at least a big portion of it, is that he's actually become to all men their answer because he's bringing Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't have to become a heroin addict to deliver a heroin addict. He was tempted in all ways. Like us, yet without sin. So I don't know
he
that
did he did sit with him though.
Right. Yes.
He didn't wear the Pharisee robe
because you can't become all things to all men unless you're with them.
Yeah.
So he didn't say come out of the world, right? But when we're in the world, if your behavior and your language and the way you dress and the way you comport yourself is all just like the world, you are really, there's nothing else. And I'm not saying you have to be completely different because guess what? We're all people and we all suffer, you know, like passions, if you will. And so there's things that are common to people, but we do have that answer. We actually can become all things to them, all men. Like we actually can become that thing that's needed in that moment.
Yeah,
that's like I said, that's maybe a little weird the way I interpret that, but that's actually how I've looked at it because I, you know, people are like, oh yeah, I'm just going to have to go into a woman's going to go into a stripper bar and become a stripper just to be able to minister. And I'm like, you don't really have to.
Probably not.
Yeah. Probably not. And, you know, speaking of your wife, I remember she used to go down to the red light district when she was younger and in San Francisco and they'd hand out roses to the hookers down there and pray with them and show kindness to them. She didn't become them. She became all things to them, which was Jesus. Yeah. Like she showed and manifest the love of Jesus to people. And that's really becoming to someone what they need.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with identifying with them as like we have the same needs and there's the same solution. Mm-hmm. That sometimes I think we can put people in categories. Well, I'm not like them because of this and they're bad because of this. And, you know, but Jesus, like if you look at Jesus, the way he came into weakness to identify with us, to bring us hope and to bring us a solution. And I think there's some of that in this, which is actually like a very modest thing. When you recognize I've had weakness and you have weakness. We may not have the same weakness, but we have the same need and the same solution. And so I can come alongside someone else that I have not lived their life. I have not experienced what they've experienced, but I have a need for a savior. And so do they. And that's how we can come into commonality.
Yeah.
I think with anybody you meet on the planet, you may not have anything in common with them, except you were a person that was born dead and you have a need for a savior. And so do they, and you need hope. And so do they, and you need clarity. And so do they. So I think those are the places where we can become like anyone else because we are the same in so many areas. Yeah. That's where, again, the heart of humility is that I'm not better than someone else. I'm not better than someone else because I dress better and I clothe myself, you know, cover myself more or whatever. Like, hey, they have, maybe there's something in them that is propelling them to need attention. And I've had areas of brokenness in my life where I needed to be healed and they need that too. And so I can become one with them in that place. Does that make
absolutely any sense? And matter of fact, the only real difference is that we were forgiven much, so we love much.
Exactly.
And in our loving much, the expression of that loving much is that we're presenting to them the love of their life,
right.
Him.
Right.
Like, that's the deal. That's the only difference. And they can immediately step into that place with Him along with us. So we are presenting that, not making a difference, not,
right.
You know, I mean, we've all ministered to people over lots of years and all sorts of people and all sorts of walks of life and everything. And that's the first thing I remember, is that I was forgiven so much. Mm-hmm. And I have no right to judge this person. I do have a right, a responsibility to discern what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and to actually discern, like, that part of your life that's not modest is killing you.
Right.
So why would I be okay with that? How can I be okay? So I can bring that to their attention, but only with the intent to bring them to Him, not to try right. to correct them or clean them up, because you can't do that.
And you're doing it in meekness and humility.
Yes.
Right? You're doing it with the modest spirit, with the
modest spirit. Yeah.
Not, I'm deigning to help you. Like, I'm going to lean down from my exalted position and help this low person. You know, it's yeah. not because that, I mean, people can do a lot of ministry from a very exalted place.
Yeah. I just, when you were saying that, I was just thinking of Pastor David. We were down there in Santa Barbara when he lived there. We went down and we're walking down the street together, my wife and Dawn, his wife, and David, and we're walking. All of a sudden, we're like, where's David? And he's gone. Like, he's gone. I look her down there, and he's, like, sitting with this homeless guy on the ground, you know, modest, like, just giving him love and giving him the gospel. And we were like, huh. I think that's modesty. And
I don't remember that.
In action.
Sure,
yeah, you know why you don't remember it?
I was actually in McDonald's.
Because he does that all the
and
time.
And there was someone that looked like me. But
No. He's too modest to accept this praise. But but he does that all the time. That's him. So I remember that really struck me. I thought, huh, that's a heart that cares about people. That's not going, oh, let me help you up to my high exalted place. It's like, no, I'm coming here. I'm with, that's why Jesus, you know, that's why he was considered a wino and a glutton and all that, mm-hmm. is because he actually sat with people that needed help.
Yeah.
And he didn't judge them. But by the way, he didn't just put a stamp of approval on their actions.
Mm-hmm. No.
Like, not at all, matter of fact.
Well, he came to cover them, right? Yeah. I believe the woman caught in adultery, he actually covered her.
Yeah.
You know, this is my belief that I read into the Bible, you know, but I think you can imagine it.
I can imagine also, a lot of people don't like this, because some people try to justify drinking really heavily and stuff. When I read that, I can imagine Jesus being with people and actually saying to some of them, who were probably drunks, by the way, like, you've got to stop this. This is no good for your life. That's our God. You know, I can't
remember. He said, you people that even hate your brother, you're going to face the judgment of Gehenna.
Yes.
He was willing to.
Yes. But imagine, I don't think he just got along with their addictions and along with their troubles and along with their selfishness. I mean, that's, how could he? He's truth.
Yeah.
And he's mercy and love all at the same time.
Right.
But he's, you know, he can't just get along with them killing themselves.
No, you're saying great. Yeah. Great stuff. And I just think, you know, for me, what we were saying before about not judging people, it's because, you know, you see somebody that's portraying themselves shamefully or immodestly to get attention. I might not be doing what that person's doing, but I know that I still do that. It might just be in another way. That right. I want attention, or I'm insecure.
Right.
So it's not like, even now as a Christian or as a minister, that I no longer ever want attention. I no longer do anything that's immodest or undisciplined. It's like we all are battling that every single day. So I like what you said, that like the person is doing that for some reason. So try to understand, and don't make the physical immodesty worse than the spiritual immodesty or the emotional immodesty.
Yeah, exactly.
We know we're all in the same boat here.
Yeah.
But I had a question to go back to something that you said. You're like, we do a lot of things. You said something to the effect of, there's plenty of things in the church that we've compromised that are immodest. I was wondering if you had any specific examples.
I was just saying you can do a lot of ministry from like an exalted position in your own self-image. And I just know that you can do a lot of things that are very good things. You can serve a lot. You can give a lot. You can be faithful in a lot of things and also be completely self-righteous in the process and do it with this inordinate self of sense of pride in all of these great things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know. It's not worth what you think it is. it's not going to count the way that you think it is because, love must be the motivating factor. Mm-hmm. Everything must be done in faith and faith works by love. And so if that's not the root of what we're doing, then it's basically a dead work. Yeah. And also you'll get your reward. Like if that's what you're doing it for, to be recognized and, to show how good you are, then you'll get your reward
all the
here.
Green rooms that you get to be in.
Yeah. It's just a real thing. You can do a lot of really good things but never actually deal with this issue of modesty in your heart. Mm-hmm. And it shows, you know, people know when you're,
nobody likes to, the only person that likes to hear that type of talk in ministry is the person doing it.
Like how good they
like,
are.
Like, oh, I met this person and I went to this place and oh, we cast out 98 demons and all, you know, like that type of stuff. You're just like, who's that for?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've heard some people talk and they're like, yeah, they start in with that. We did this and I did this and God used me here. And you're just like,
my smoking hot wife and I went to Bermuda. On
you know? But then you can hear, but I've heard other people and they're like, yeah, we did, you know, we went to this place and this started happening and then God did this here. And it's like, mm-hmm. They're giving the same account, but it's completely glorifying right. the Lord and right. not them, that's right. you know? So it's not that you can't ever share what God is doing, but it's just, where's your, and it comes out in the way that you speak. People can sense it. They can feel it. Like they discern it, that it's either about you and all these, and you're trying to build yourself up, which comes out of insecurity and pride and all the things, because you have to prove how good of a minister you are, or like I am so amazed that God would choose to allow me to be part of something he's doing. Like, isn't this amazing that he did this, this, and this, and this, and I know that I have nothing good to offer in this whole equation, and I'm just like, I'm in awe along with you. Mm-hmm. And it brings you actually into this place of like worship and glorifying the Lord. Mm. So it's just, I don't know, I think you can.
Yeah, that's a world.
It comes out. Yeah, it's night and day.
That's a great point to be made. Because I think sometimes people scare people away from sharing testimony of like, oh, you're being prideful. You shouldn't say that, you know, but it really is all just the attitude that you're bringing to it.
Yeah.
Here's a question. You might have heard this question before.
Probably have.
Why should church leaders require modesty of the people in their congregation? Or should they?
Yes, they should, because they're trying.
Like to with a whip or like how?
Oh, yeah, definite whip. No.
Watch me whip.
Come all things, Dom. Oh, no. Yeah, I think that church leaders should require modesty. Now, can they force modesty? No. Nobody can do that, because modesty, like I said earlier, is a heart issue. Mm-hmm. It's just like submission. It's a heart issue. And you can comply without. Matter of fact, you can comply to the external conditions of modesty and not have it in your heart. You're just conforming. Mm-hmm. You're just like, I'm doing it because you're making me do it. And it will show in some other form later. It's just that simple to me. And so, yes, I think that either that or you won't bring truth. I think Jesus in all his ministry presented modesty.
Yeah.
And said, what about this? I mean, you look at like in Galatians 5, you know, and the fruits of the Spirit, and you know, you see things coming out of people's lives, and there's a lot of modesty in all that, and like all wrapped in there.
Humility. Yeah.
It's humility, and what's happening is it's giving evidence. I believe modesty, when modesty is actually done, it's manifested properly, I believe it gives evidence of who you actually are, the tree, the vine that you're, you know, connected to, the root that you're connected, it gives clear evidence. That's where you come from. Just like a tree, you know, you see oranges on there, you don't go, oh, it's an apple tree. It's like, mm-hmm. No, it's an orange tree because it's got big
GMO tree.
Yes.
This made me think of the demoniac, that when he was, all the demons were cast out of him, they found him clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. So Jesus was he clothed the guy. Mm-hmm. Wasn't like, hey, we kicked the demons out of you. You're naked. You're good to go.
You're good to go.
You'll be a good witness in this condition.
Because things that are valuable should be cared for.
Not neglected.
I think that's some of where people do unknowingly, especially people who grow up in the world culture, they have no idea of value. And so nothing means anything. You know, it's just like, well, yeah, I'll do like nothing matters. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I'll do this. I'll let this person do this to me. I'll whatever it is, because it doesn't matter. There's no value. And that's part of what modesty brings, is it brings value to people. It brings, there's a care and there's a covering, not just physical covering, but there's a guarding of precious things that happens in modesty. And that's part of what Jesus wants to restore to people in modesty. It's not a power trip. It's not a control thing. It's actually, there's precious things that need to be guarded and kept and preserved and shielded, you know?
Well, especially in our culture today. I mean, it's a porn culture.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think modesty live in a porn culture. Your life.
Yeah.
It does.
It actually helps. I mean, it's the instructions for life and godliness. It is, it's not just the instructions, it's how it's manifested. And so it's just, to me, it's a good thing. It's not an evil thing in any way. And I think the problem is, both in the world and sometimes in church, people look at just talking about modesty as you're trying to force me to do something.
The legalist.
Right? Yeah.
Well, it's because a lot of legalists have forced people to do things.
Of course they did. And that was immodest.
Yeah.
That's
why people have that wound, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean there's not a right way.
Right.
To do it.
Well, you know, like you were talking about Jesus earlier, and he when he forgave the woman, caught in adultery, he did say, go and don't do that no more.
Oh, completely.
Like, it's really, I mean, it's not like he's, I don't want to be pushy with you. I don't want to, I mean, you were making pretty good money, so I don't want to take your livelihood away. I mean, really, seriously, how are we looking at this? He actually instructed her in modesty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It wasn't, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Right. And it wasn't a bad or evil thing. And as a matter of fact, it sounded a little like a command, right? That, basically when you respond to his commands, you love.
It's like he's the Lord or something.
Kind of like that. Yeah, kind of like
that. No, that's good. Here's another good question that you might have heard before. So how does modesty affect corporate worship? Maybe we'll go to the worship leader.
Oh, man.
How does modesty, how does it bear on, how does it bear on corporate worship?
It's bare.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is only one thing can be worshiped. And so it will either be the Lord or it will be you. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can have the appearance of worship and be very self-serving, and which is we are then robbing God of his worship and placing it on ourselves. So I think that when we're in a corporate setting, it is, again, where is the attention being drawn to? Is it, and this goes, I want to say both ways, because I know some people will not step into any type of public expression in the congregation because they don't want attention drawn to themselves. Yeah. But really at that point, when the Holy Spirit is prompting them to do something, to say something, to sing, to dance, whatever it is, and they're like, no, I don't want attention. Now they have just completely put themselves at the center and refused the Holy Spirit for the sake of perceived modesty. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then there's, of course, the very blatant opposite of that, of I want to be seen. My expression is what matters right now. I'm supposed to lead this. I'm supposed to do this. It's about my ministry, my calling. It doesn't matter what else is happening in the room. It doesn't matter if I've been told a million times I'm not supposed to do that thing right then. I'm just going to do it because Holy Spirit told me and I'm the ultimate authority and it's about what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So good.
So immodest.
So good from a worship leader.
Yeah. This sounds like not as much. I mean, there's clothing issues in this, but it seems way more of a heart issue.
It's always a heart issue. But there are clothing issues in this.
I was going to maybe see if you wanted to address.
I'm going to go bring everybody to the deep end here and make everybody upset. First of all, it goes both ways. It's not just women, although I think we can – it Well,
I thought this was only a woman issue.
It's only a woman issue.
Like, you're making the guys lust, you know?
We'll do both. We'll go from both sides here. Both sides need to understand that they have an effect on the other. That's why you're different. Maybe we'll do a podcast on men and women being different.
What?
They're different. Oh. I know you don't know this, but you know.
What is a woman?
Yeah, what is a woman? So the deal is they're different, intentionally made different, and intentionally made to attract the other. Mm-hmm. Right? To be partnered with, to be.
That is correct.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, not to be joined to every single other, but to attract. And so from a guy's point of view, for the women listening here, if they're still listening, you know, a guy trying to worship God at church and, you know, there's all sorts of tight things and bouncing around, you just be like, yeah, your mind is hard to stay on God. So I personally close my eyes or look up to heaven. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be forced to do that. I actually believe that I should be okay with worshiping in a congregation of people and not be having to deal with that kind of assault. Mm-hmm. A woman, same thing on their side, I would suppose. If you had some big old buffed guy and, you know, massive muscles, and he just happens to go in there with one of these skin tight shirts or no shirt. Hey, let's go with no shirt because it's okay for a guy not to have a shirt, right? And so, you know, who are they going to be?
He's probably got a big snake tattoo all over his.
Yeah, I mean, who are you going to be paying attention to? It'll be God who? Come on. That's a reality. And people, when we don't consider the other as another person, we're being very immodest in that process. And I think some people should just kind of look at themselves in a mirror, a full-length mirror, and spin around a couple of times before they go to church.
Yeah, but this is the area that people actually, I think a lot of people, they look at themselves and they think, I am being modest.
Yes.
You need to go to someone else who's a godly person that you respect and admire and ask them. Because I'm just saying, and especially younger people, like the world just gets more and more whatever. See,
now
goes.
We lost everybody on this.
Okay, it's fine. Okay, it's all right. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. But this is the place where a lot of people believe that they actually are. I really believe this. There are people that are, they love the Lord. They're trying to walk with God, and they probably think that they're being modest, and they don't realize what's happening. And so you have to sometimes get a
second opinion.
You have to get an expert opinion or a second opinion anyway from somebody that you trust and you know is not weird and not going to try to put something weird
but
on
then
you.
But then you'd be forced to yield.
Yes.
You would be forced to.
Well, you'll be presented with the opportunity to yield. And then what? Like actually yield to someone else's view.
Right.
Oh, that's
and
good.
You might have to end up wearing a tie when you preach.
You might.
Who would want to do that?
Yes,
you know.
I know.
I have to do that. But anyway, So
and it's still. I just want to say this.
Fine. I like it.
Even though we're talking about maybe this article of clothing or that, it is still completely a heart issue between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
Completely, 100% has nothing to do with the people around you. It has nothing to do with that person that said it to you. It is not, it's none of that. It is completely 100% you and the Lord.
Yeah. And I want to say, be clear, probably we all would agree on this, that if someone comes into church and they're not a believer or they're new and they're dressed immodestly, it doesn't bug me nearly as much because it's just like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad they're here.
Right.
They're going to meet Jesus. But when it's somebody that you know is a member of the congregation that's been there for years, and all of a sudden they're showing up in front of you in a different way. And you go, wait, what's going on here? It's really distracting. Because you're not only thinking like biologically, you're thinking like, what's going on here?
Right.
What's the impulse behind this? And you don't, those are not constructive thoughts to worshiping God. Why even introduce that into the room? Like, it's easy for me to say, because I'm not like really the most, you know, Casanova person, you know, but I'm just like, that's probably people with so much beauty. That's a weapon. That's a power that you have. You know, you have to think about it. Just like if your power is intellect or your power is your resources or whatever, you really have to think about how am I using that for God's glory? The same thing if you're a very attractive person. Like you have to think about that and get counsel. Like Pastor Liz was saying, like, how can I use my gifts that I've been given to promote God, you know, to actually unify people in worship. Yes. And not just be like, yeah, I can get everyone to look at me. I can get that if I want.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's a bigger temptation for some. Other people don't have that option to even do that. So
I just realized I have no superpowers.
Engineering powers.
Hey, intellect. You're going down the.
None of those things. Just like, I got shortchanged here really bad.
That's not true. That's false modesty. Humility.
That's immodest.
I was just looking for attention. See?
Bob is a man of many gifts.
Yes.
Many
I do that in a crowd once in a while. I go, yeah. May I have everyone's attention, please? Mm-hmm. And they'll stop and look. And I go, I just love attention.
If you can admit that, that's almost modest. You're like, almost. Oh, hey, you know, like I'm just being truthful.
Or
here,
stupid.
You know? Yeah, probably.
Oh, my God.
Hey, so Pastor Liz, let's say someday you have your own church. Mm-hmm. You have your own. Or
She does.
Even people that are listening to you.
Yes. Okay.
Let's say, Pastor Bob, you have your own leadership training group someday. Theoretically, you have your own church someday. Probably the Lord will call you to Tahiti or something, you know, to share the gospel.
To some place that doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
It happens.
So sad. Should train them to speak English. If they were modest, they would conform to English. That's all gosh. I would say. Wow. Okay. You were saying.
America. Yes. Okay. America. So as the leader of your church, we'll start with Liz. As leader of your church, I almost said something bad. Okay. As your church, would you teach modesty as a doctrine or more of like a wisdom or more of like an attitude or how would you approach teaching modesty to your people? It's all up to you.
All up to me.
How would you introduce that?
I would teach it as a principle, as a godlike character. And then also people that I was training for ministry or for leadership, I would teach it as a requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool. How about you?
How would I teach it to my church? Mm-hmm. First, I would require them to come to the church in a burqa, men and women. Yeah. No, I didn't say that. We could get thrown off of that
one. How much nicer the gospel is than other religions. Yes. We just have to take a minute and recognize that.
Kidding.
Okay.
Now, I just totally agree with Liz.
Oh,
praise
good.
The Lord. Wow.
One time, this amazing. one little time.
Total
here.
Agreement.
Wow. Total agreement.
I disagree with all of you.
I know. No, I think you must teach, you must come from a place of principle. Like it's a principle of God. And if you're looking for like a bunch of check box, you know, that, you know, you complied here. It's never going to work that way. There's going to be things that you're going to have to deal with in the place you're at, the people you're called to, and where they're at spiritually. Mm-hmm. How mature they are or not, and also what Holy Spirit is trying to do in that place at that time. Mm-hmm. So you can come in externally force and try to make everybody conform to something that you like all the time. And leaders do that. Mm-hmm. They do. And I believe sometimes that's actually Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like for that moment in that time, mm-hmm. it's a good thing. It's not all bad. But like I said earlier, you really need to be led by Holy Spirit. I would pray if I'm ever in that position. That's why I'm not sure God's never going to do that. But that I would be led and I would conform to his will in that process. Yeah. And I would bring that with love. And so let me put the little icing on this cake. Mm-hmm. If you don't love those people,
right.
It doesn't matter what principle of God you teach them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what you require. Mm-hmm. None of that matters. And I don't mean love like the little gushy, oh, I just love you. No, I mean like care for their souls. Mm-hmm. Like when you understand as a leader, what you are there is to actually bring them up, raise them up to God and, you know, and not just yourself. There's a whole different position you're in with people and a place of caring for their souls. And when people get that about you, I believe great leaders, what people got was this person really cares about me, even when they didn't like what they were saying. Even when it was like, oh, this is a hard thing.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, mm-hmm. you know, hey, this is a hard thing, Jesus, but where do we go? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
you are it, yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, interesting subject, because you can teach it as doctrine because it's in the Bible. So there's different teachings, 1 Peter 3, 1 Timothy 2, about the need for meekness and dignity and how we present ourselves for the sake of our witness. But ultimately, I think, I would want to come from the person of Christ, that he exemplified modesty. Like he said, I can do nothing apart from the Father. I'm doing everything at his direction. He came to serve. He came to associate with the lowly, lay his life down, bring attention to the kingdom and to the Father. And that was everything that was about him. It was never self-glorifying. Right. He's the opposite of, he's self-sacrificial. He's not self-glorifying. So,
well, I think one of you said this earlier, and that is you can act out in what you perceive modesty, and it can be very immodest in the process.
Right.
I think somewhat, and Pastor Davey can help me with this, I believe some of this is actually spoken to maybe even in Colossians, I'm thinking, when Paul's speaking basically to or against a Gnostic religion of a sort, and other religions actually had surfaced, and people are into like, don't touch that, don't eat that, don't do that. And so that was like a false modesty. They presented a religion that was very weirdly structured, and it had nothing to do with Jesus and nothing to do with bringing him to Jesus. And he was pretty serious about like, this is false.
Yeah.
And this is not, don't touch this, don't do that. That's, what is that?
Yeah.
And because their intent was not to please God, it was to control people.
Right, and to control the self.
And
because that Colossian heresy was syncretism. It was Jewish mysticism plus proto-Gnosticism, what he's saying is you're exactly right. He's like, all these things, I think it says at the end of Colossians 2, all these things where you're being severe to the body and you're abstaining and you're separating so far from everything.
Mm-hmm.
He says they have indeed an appearance of righteousness
yes.
But they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh.
Right.
They actually make it worse. They make your immodesty worse. Mm-hmm. They make your pride worse. Mm-hmm. So he's not even saying like, don't do it, it's neutral. He's saying it's going to make it worse. If you approach it that way, that you're being distinct and controlling everything, it's going to make things worse than if you would just look at Jesus.
Well, nobody can live up to that.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Well, even if you did, even if you did, like Paul, you're blameless or something,
right?
Like that, you're in a horrible position spiritually, and you can't love anybody from that position,
it's the top-down thing
you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying is that modesty, can the appearance of a modest, life might not really be modest at all. Mm-hmm. Might just be kind of a weird religion.
Yeah. I just think at the end, if we have a couple more minutes, maybe each of you could just share what's like a really important thing on your mind that just for people listening that maybe they're not aware of, it's in this area of modesty. It's just an area that they could look at of like, hey, how am I comporting myself? Or maybe just an issue that you see in the church that just maybe you want to put your finger on something specific.
Well, also say a couple of things, but I think Pastor Liz is better at closing than I am because I'm too modest.
You're so modest.
Yes. I'm just going to go back simply to, this is not that complicated. And I think we can make it really complicated in modesty. And then we want to strive over, it's this, it's not that. You do this, you don't do, And I believe that if you will yield to Holy Spirit and you'll actually go to the Word of God, that word will actually direct you and lead you and make you mindful of what pleases God and what's good for the people around you. And I think you mentioned this earlier. It's, it's all bound up in loving God and loving people. Mm-hmm. And outside of that, what you're left with is you're going to try to love yourself more than everybody else. And you're going to, have the self idol. So I would say that anyone dealing with this, if you're honest, you will take a real good look in your mirror and your spiritual mirror, and you'll ask yourself, what's motivating me? Mm-hmm. What's the intent of my heart? Mm-hmm. Because that's where things first fail. They don't fail externally, but first, what's motivating me? Why would I have to do this thing? What's compelling me to do that? And is it Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Or is it just the flesh?
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
My thought is it's a little bit of a weird thought. I'll start with this. My mom was telling us this story. She just went on this hike in Arizona. Havasu Falls. And on the way back, they hike through this village where there's tons of scorpions. Mm. There's scorpions all over the place. And in that village, no one walks around barefoot. Like they have to always wear shoes because there's scorpions like in their houses, like everywhere. So they never walk barefoot. My mom was saying like she was walking around barefoot in her house thinking about, she's like, just like, I can walk around barefoot in my house, but they always have to wear shoes because there's scorpions everywhere. And I don't know, it just came to my I told you it was weird. Came to my mind because in that village, they teach their children like you need to wear shoes. And it's not because shoes are bad. It's not because they're and it's somewhere else you maybe they have like the freedom not to wear shoes, but because of the where they live, there's certain things that are good for them to do. It's not the parents aren't trying to control them or exert a power trip. It's actually for their safety and for their life. Mm-hmm. And so I was just thinking about that in this sense, and where I'm going with this is that sometimes, I think people are afraid, and I wanted to speak to like leaders and to spiritual fathers and mothers, because sometimes where people are become afraid or become intimidated to just say, you should not do that. You should do this. And it's not because that is bad and this is good. It's because of what the place where you are designed to live and the place where you are designed to walk. This is a requirement for your life. And it's not a power thing. It's not a control thing. It's just you're looking at someone that you love and you want them to be successful and you want them to not be, you know, stung by certain things and all of that.
That's good.
And so I just wanted to speak to leaders and to spiritual and maybe natural fathers and mothers also, that we cannot be intimidated by the culture that says you can't put anything on anyone. That's legalism. That's religious, like whatever it is, it's controlling. None of that, because there are some things that are just, they're required for someone's life. That may be in a certain place. That may be one person that you see that they have something on them that they should not indulge in that thing, or they should not allow this thing in their life. And so then on the reverse of that, I just want to say to people who are walking with spiritual fathers and mothers that we should be humble enough to hear when someone tells us, I don't believe this is a good thing. And this, again, it may go for a group of people. It may go for a congregation. It may be for a small group of people or one person. But just understanding the intent is not to control. It is not to put them in some, under some weird religious bondage. It's really about life. And it's about being able to walk in the places that you are intended to walk with minimal harm and minimal damage.
Yeah, I love that. And I think what came to mind when you're saying this, that there are people and there's a world concept where I'm going to cast off all restraint. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes restraints are okay, especially like if you're in a car going really fast and crash. It might be good to have those seatbelts on, I suppose. Right. One last thing I was thinking about, this scorpion village you're talking about here is really intriguing me. I'm like, they're going to come into play big time in Revelation.
Right. It's like, where was this place called? Hell?
Yeah. Yeah, really. That place is going to really work out well later. You don't want to be near that place later.
No.
Never going there. Probably cheap houses, though. Yeah, I think that's really good stuff. I was just thinking personally, like when I was asking myself like about modesty, it was just something that God brought up to me, was like, you need people to recognize you. Like you're hungry for recognition. Mm. You know, like even if you do a little thing, you want someone to say, oh, thank you. Like I noticed that. Mm-hmm. And why? You know, like obviously there's a healthy desire for that, but why? Like what's essential about that? Or what, you know, so I just think that is a challenge that I'm taking to heart, and hopefully people listening will take to heart, is why is it so important that you be recognized, you know, for whatever gift that you have? Like, why is it so important you be recognized for your beauty or your smarts or your humor or your ministry or whatever? Like, why is that worth more than you faithfully doing your calling? Like, why is that worth more than presenting Jesus in the best way possible? Okay. Cause it'll interfere with that. It'll be a stumbling block for you, number one, and for those around you. I think that's a hard one to grapple with at the end. It's just something to pray about, because every individual is different, you know?
Well, I think actually the word actually speaks to that. There's a balance there. It's very good. You know, let another's lips, you know, mm-hmm. raise you, bring, bring that to you and not your own. If you're looking at it just for your own sake, and I think there's a sense where you can, people are going to, and rightfully so, Jesus said some pretty good things about John. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a little late, but you know, he couldn't get a big head because he was going to lose it, right?
Oh my gosh.
But I mean, the reality is it's okay. I mean, you know, let him that glories, glory in the Lord. But it, mm-hmm. there's, I believe there's going to be recognition that happens. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing it for the recognition, that's probably, other than his recognition to please the Father,
right?
You know, that's the deal. And so, but I do believe that there are going to be people who are highlighted and are put up on a stage for God's glory, not for theirs. Mm-hmm. Now, people are going to look at them, they're going to recognize them, you know, all the accolades and all that, but they can actually handle that. I think there are people who actually can handle it. I think that's the kind of mature person that God is really looking for, someone that can operate in power, operate in their gift, look like this is great, but know that they're glorying in God, mm-hmm. and not just themselves, mm-hmm. and not to the false humility. Oh, it's not me. It's like, yeah, it was you. You're the one that he's using to sing and to bring the word and to, you know, and that's great, but you're doing it for him. And that's so good.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not doing it just for that. Like if there was nobody that noticed you, you'd still be that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
yeah. As we end, I just think it's, mm-hmm. why are we talking about this? I think it's, imagine if you are a modest person, that's an outflow of a life that's so at peace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's so fulfilled.
Secure.
It's so secure. Yes. Yeah. It's so full of God, and God is all and in all. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are looking for. So if we have God and we're connecting with him, one fruit of that will be modesty. And I don't know if you could just try to make it modest on the outside. You have to go mm-hmm. clean the inside of the cup, and you have to say, like, I need to be at peace in myself and be satisfied in him. Mm-hmm. And then that's probably, I know it's going to affect the outward. So with that, we will wrap up we'll cover up our modesty discussion, sew it up in a bag until next time. Okay. And we'll see you then. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.